eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
Welcome to Eat, Drink, Talk, the top restaurant bar podcast in Louisville, Kentucky, where we deep dive into the local drink and dining scene. I'm your host, Steve Coombs, and my co-host, Rick Redding, is right across from me, as usual. Welcome, my friend.
We are number one in those things. We're the best.
And I wonder who our competitors are.
I don't know.
Who's number two?
I don't know.
But it's the possibility there is a number two.
That's a good question. If you strike out on your own and you want to be number one in something, do something nobody else
that's
is
right.
doing.
That's right. Claim it while you're at it.
That's right.
But speaking of number one, in our hearts are our sponsors. Harvest, among them, elevated hyper-local food served to you Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. and brunch Friday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2:30. Go down there at 624 East Market and don't miss every Thursday, three-course Thursdays, where you can get three courses for just $30. Call 384-9090 for reservations or make your own online at harvestlouisville.com.
There you go. And, you know, usually every week we talk about the Eye Care Institute. One of our great sponsors here. But this week it's something special. They have an event coming up on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. You can register for it. And it's a topic near and dear to our hearts, Steve.
Good vision.
The title is, Hey, Doc, got any better option than those reading glasses?
Yeah.
So you can go in there and
I can see satellites with my trifocals.
They're going to have a seminar with their top doctor, Dr. John Meyer, and they're going to talk about all the options for presbyopia. You know what that is?
No, I don't.
That's the worsening of near vision as age progressive.
Then I am presbyopic.
It is often frustrating. So that's cool. And we also want to thank our sponsor, Norton Commons. Norton Commons attorney and marketing director Marilyn Patterson will be on the show later on, but we're going to talk about Restaurant Week out there.
Indeed. Lots of good deals. A good chance for people to go out and see it if they've not seen Norton Commons to begin with, but the opportunity is just to park and walk to every place.
Exactly. When I was out there last week, I stopped at the Meeting Street Coffee House, and then I met somebody over at Verbena, and I went to Marilyn's office. is right on the corner where they're building a whole new thing, right next to Commonwealth Tap, which I know is one of your favorite places.
Oh yeah, love that place.
So anyway, that starts January 23rd, I believe, which is next Monday. Restaurant Week at Norton Commons.
Speaking of restaurant news.
New restaurants.
Jeffrey Heide, who kind of made his name as the chef, made his name in Louisville as the chef at Village Anchor for about 5 years, then started Set this past summer, I believe it was, has gone on and done his own thing, and he is going to set up Fork and Barrel. That's what it's going to be. What it's going to be called, awesome. And it's in the old Boss's spot. But even before the smell or the aroma, I should say, of Vietnamese food leaves, he'll be starting to set up sometime this week, and they're looking for a March opening, possibly.
Wow, that's pretty quick. That is a great location, so anxious to see what Jeffrey does over there.
Yeah, because he's calling it classic American food. Did not care yet to discuss the particulars, but there'll be a little more in-depth story today, Tuesday, when you see this, or when you listen to this, and there'll be he'll say a whole lot more about it. But I'm excited for the guy. This is his operation. He does have some investors, but he's calling the shots.
Man, it's great. Great. We have such an entrepreneurial town, in, especially in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, your guys, I say your guys, but we've talked about this, and you know the people over at formerly Craft House, maybe going to be Devil's Due, and now it's something else.
The Goss Avenue Pub is what it's going to be called. So it's right across the street from Four Pegs, and then at catty corner to that is the Pearl. So it's right there on the dividing line between Schnitzelburg and Germantown, as we've heard many times.
Yeah, we know the difference. And it's interesting. It's sort of unusual, I guess, to announce a concept and then say, "No, we're not going to do that. After all, we're going to do something else."
I haven't seen that one before. Never seen that happen. After one didn't work, announce what the next one's going to be, and then this one, you know, it gets changed. But, you know, if they're – I think they did take notice of everything that was being said in social media about some of the things. You know, mm-hmm. it seemed like this mix of Asian and there's a fusion and some smoked foods and
it was a little bit of a complicated idea.
Yeah. So to make it uncomplicated, they are eliminating service. It will just be fast casual. You'll order it, and you know, honestly, I don't know if they're going to drop it off the table or you just pick it up at the window. We're going to find out real soon this week, as a matter of fact, how that works. But I think it'd be cool.
I think a story I read said that they were still going to have table service like on weekends.
I saw that in the Courier, and sources close to my Facebook account say that's questionable. So okay. We're going to see.
You have to go and find out.
That's crazy. Awesome. Well, I don't know why they would do that. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, $6 or $9 for sandwiches
in Maine. Right, yeah, in yeah. They say that's right in line with Chex. I've never paid $9 for even 3 visits at Chex that I can remember. But they've done their price shopping in the neighborhood. Speaking of my neighborhood, The Rock are just Rock. I don't know how many of our listeners know anything about this Italian restaurant that is still under construction in the Highlands. It's been...
I don't know exactly where is that, Steve.
Right next door to where Rue died. So,
oh, okay.
You know, right there in...
I have seen some hammers and nails and stuff going on over there.
Yeah, if you shop around their website, you can see that that's a white tablecloth place in New York. So this is number 2. Why they chose Louisville, I'm not certain. It's a far-flung restaurant concept, but still, it's moving, it appears to be.
Importing ideas from other cities. Now, on the other extreme of importing from New York is the one that's going in Middletown next week.
Yeah. Talk about double dogs.
Imported all the way from Bowling Green. But Double Dog, you know, it sounds to me, as I was reading through the press materials about it, it sounds like sort of a Beef O'Brady's type concept with a pet theme. So it's supposedly so pet friendly and all that. I don't know why they're going all the way out there in Middletown.
Pet friendly in terms of you can bring your pet.
They've got a patio. You can bring your pet. They're going to have they'll have like dog treats and stuff.
Wow,
they don't even away. It's unusual, but the guy that started it is, you know, when I was going to school way back when at Western,
that's right.
The hip happening amazing restaurant was Rafferty's, and the guy that started that is a guy named Dan Davis. You probably know, and this is his concept. He's got 2 in Nashville, 1 in Bowling Green, and 1 in Knoxville.
That many double dogs.
They're
wow.
This is like number 5.
Well, it sounds like it's well established.
It is, and I'm hoping to talk to them later this week and go out there. They do have a grand opening on Monday, and they're partnering with the Kentucky Humane Society, so there's a thing going on there. So.
Well.
Wow, something to think about.
And where out in Middletown, and with the rest of the restaurants that were clustered in that new development?
Not way out there.
It's in the commons?
It actually is. It's in that area where Joella's and Panda Express,
wow.
all those
that's a statement. That's expensive real estate there.
Yeah, so. And it's really nice. I've passed by it. I've driven by it several times, and it's really looks nice from the outside, so... we'll see.
Well, I know something that makes me feel nice on the inside, and that is Louisville Cream. This, you know, boutique ice cream maker is finally going to get its own site in Nulu. Sometime this year. To my palate, I would argue that I would just flat out say it's my favorite ice cream made in the city.
I love it. Flavors, right?
They do. Not as crazy as some of the things that we see at Comfy Cow, which is kind of their shtick. I like a lot of the flavors, but when I get right down to texture, man, I am a Louisville Cream fan. So I'm excited. Can't wait to see. It's going to be the butcher block, right?
It's going to be in Nulu.
Nulu, duh. Yeah, I've already said that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, but I think in the spot sort of toward downtown from, say, the Green Building and Galaxy and all that, it's toward downtown from there.
Closer toward the Haymarket Whiskey Bar end of it.
In that direction.
Yeah. But. Cool.
Anyway, that's very exciting. We're going to have to get those guys on the show. I saw a video of the guy on social media.
The Louisville Cream guys?
Yeah, and they seem very cool. I'm going to put them on my list of people we'd like to talk to on the show.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of people we have talked to recently, we sat down with Dallas McGarity last week. He's the chef owner at the Fat Lamb. And despite some people's negative predictions about that not being a good location there, on the corner of Grinstead and Bardstown, bad location, sorry, I don't see it. They're doing exceptionally well. He says far busier than they expected. And if I'm not mistaken, he says in the interview that they're 20% better than expected.
Wow.
Which is really, really good. So if you've not been there, definitely stop by, check it out. It's a neat place. And just, you know, hang on here and listen to Dallas. Let him tell the story.
All right. And when Steve and I come back, we'll have our favorite segment. And later in the show, Marilyn Patterson from Norton Commons is going to be our guest. So stay tuned to Eat, Drink, Talk.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned, Pat Forty.
But I'm with the new Chariot, Crispin Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman. I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
My guest this week on Eat, Drink, Talk is Dallas McGarity, chef owner of the Fat Lamb. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. My pleasure.
So glad to have you, especially given that you're busy. You've got other media folks coming in today. The phone ringing in the background.
The phone's always going to ring off the hook. Yeah, it just never stops here sometimes. So.
Well, that's good. So that kind of dovetails into my first question. How's business?
It's been really, really good, you know, way, way, way better than I thought it would be. You know?
No kidding.
I kind of tend to underestimate things, you know, like that. So luckily I underestimated, and we're doing way better than I thought. So.
Well, I mean, like a percentage-wise, how much further up are you, do you think?
We're about 15-20% more than I expected.
That's huge.
So it's a big deal, yeah. That's good.
What made you so cautious, you know, to predict that you were going to do less in the first place? Making sure that you didn't get too optimistic?
Exactly. You don't want to get too cocky with that stuff. Numbers can destroy a restaurant, you know? So, yeah, that's the whole point in that.
So what's selling well? Are there any particular customer favorites so far on the menu?
You know, the lamb always does well. Lamb meatballs are, like, the favorite.
I had those, thank you, a couple of weeks ago.
Everybody loves them still. And they're so simple. It's just one of those simple flavors that I guess people gravitate towards. That Brussels sprouts always do well. People tend to know those, I guess. But
talk about the meatballs for a second, because you get so many meatballs that are tough, you know, and overcooked. I would imagine there's a lot of techniques to making them good versus, you
absolutely,
know.
Yeah. You definitely, when you roll in the meatball, you can't pack it. You really can. And we, you know, the portion control, we use a scoop, a little, you know, ice cream scooper. But we do two scoops instead of one. Like, a lot of people take one big honking scoop and roll into a meatball.
Uh-huh.
But we use two, so we don't pack it as much.
So you're kind of pattying it together in a way?
Exactly, yeah.
But not flattening it. So what else is in the mix that keeps it tender and moist like that?
It's just good lamb. Just good lamb. Lamb.
No breading, no egg?
No. It's three ingredients. It's, well, really a little more, but salt and pepper. And then it's onion and lamb. And that is all that goes in our meatballs.
So the tzatziki sauce is what, you know, and the feta and the other things on it. That really jack it out.
Yeah, a little to it. So,
any surprises that dishes are doing well that you didn't think would do so well, or vice versa?
Not really. I mean, everything's doing kind of what I thought it would do. You know, I did in the beginning have a little hiccup on short ribs. We put short ribs on the menu at first, and we had them going for a while. And they didn't do as hot as I thought, you know. Hmm. But I guess everybody has a short rib, you know. That's the thing. Being downtown so long, you kind of get that meat and potatoes crowd a lot more down there, because you got all those hotels and all the conventions and all those people that come in. And
you're talking about Marketplace Grill, where you worked for almost 3 years?
Yeah, six.
Right? Six?
Six. I was on there for 6 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Seems like about three, but yeah, it was six. So.
So when you're talking about the short rib, you're probably talking hotel guests, maybe,
absolutely,
that were in the area that wanted beef.
They didn't really know what they were walking into, and then they come in and they see some creative stuff, and they say, well, I know what a short rib is, and I'll get that, you know. So, but here we can do a little more creative stuff, which is nice, you know, which makes me a little happier.
How's the bar doing?
The bar's been going really well. Yeah, Brennan has a great cocktail program. It's, you know, he changes it a lot, which is good. And his cocktails are probably some of the best in the city, I think, you know.
I had the house cocktail a couple of weeks ago, kind of a mashup with an old-fashioned and a Manhattan and a little twist. I think he has cardamom syrup in there.
Yeah,
a little twist.
Yeah.
I mean, do people come here and linger at the bar and just have a bite and go?
Absolutely. Yeah, we get a lot of people come sit at the bar and they'll get a burger, because we got a double cheeseburger on the menu, which is one of the big sellers, too. So
not a surprise, I don't guess, all right?
Yeah, that and a cocktail, and then they'll go do what they're doing, so.
Do you find that people are doing that, eating a little bit here, maybe going somewhere else in this particular strip?
I think some folks are doing that. I think a lot of folks that we get to do that are just neighborhood folks on their way home. You know, we get a lot of the regular folks that we get. You know, we already have a great base of regulars, you know. We got a couple that comes in and sits at the corner of the bar. They always get a couple cocktails, and they always get cheeseburgers and, like, a mac and cheese. And that's what they eat, and then they go home. And it's, like, two or three times a week when they do that. So
they get some FiberCon on the way home,
exactly.
I gather.
I hope so, yeah.
Goodness. So to the many who said, at least to me anyway, that, oh, this is, number one, a cursed location. Number two, oh, it's just so hard to get into and out of. I would say the pace of business is maybe refuting that position.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's all. I think that was an excuse, you know. Everybody wants to find a reason why something's not doing well. And, you know, I'm confident that we're going to do well in this neighborhood just because I live in the neighborhood. I'm a part of the neighborhood. My kids go to school at, you know, Highland Presbyterian and Bloom. So, uh-huh. I mean, everyone in the neighborhood knows us here. It's kind of, it's a family restaurant in the neighborhood that we're in, you know. I'm trying to keep the overhead as low as possible. I mean, that's another thing you got to do.
Means a lot of hours, probably.
You know, it means a lot of hours and smart purchasing and a smart menu. I mean, you know, I don't want to price myself out of the neighborhood. I want to be that middle ground where people don't, you know, go and, like, Jack Fry's you can go to once a week, you know, but you can't really, I mean, you can't really do it up at Jack Fry's once a week unless you're pretty wealthy.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's, you know, you can do the same here, but you can kind of come here and be more casual too.
And your menu is fairly limited. Was that something that you wanted to do to control quality or to, you know, not overwhelm guests? I mean,
all that together. I don't want to overwhelm the guests. I want them to be able to read through the menu while they're sitting here, you know. I want the cooks to be able to execute properly. I want to control the quality behind the line. I also want to be able to purchase properly, and that helps a lot when you have a smaller menu. And not just that, I like to change the menu frequently, so having a smaller menu lets you do that easily.
How often are you doing that? So, I mean, is it new menu monthly or nightly or?
We've changed the menu since November. We've changed it probably four times already.
Oh,
so yeah, just kind of when we get a whim of something that we like, you know, we put it on there.
So you've got that wide open display kitchen. Do you like cooking in front of the public like that?
It's okay. you know,
can't slam pans and curse and.
No, I've never really done that. I mean, too much anyway. You know, not. Not in the last, you know, 10 years I haven't done that, you know. You kind of come up doing that, and you learn from folks that do that. But nowadays, you can't do that anyway. I mean, the cooks, they don't respond to that. No one thinks that's proper, you
right.
know. So you got to have a little more couth and a little bit more, I guess, tact, you know, when you're dealing with that kind of stuff.
What's the challenge to it, then?
Challenge is people are watching you constantly. Like, you know, like, you look up from, like, I usually work pantry and expo, which is kind of together on the line,
uh-huh.
which is, you know, it's a big station. It's the last uh-huh. stuff that comes off the station. So my head's down a lot, putting stuff in bowls and plates and making things pretty. And I look up, and there's, like, 10 people out here watching me, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so it's an interesting thing. You know, somebody's always watching, you know?
And there's, I guess, that maybe over time you'll learn to ignore it, or...
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times, you know, it's just... They want to see something. They're in a restaurant. They're watching because it's entertainment.
It is entertainment. You know? Yeah. So. Does anybody specifically request those seats right there along the bar to watch? Oh, yeah. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of folks sit there. That's kind of a hot seat. So, yeah.
I would think it'd be fun to come here and just say, no menu, and just say, chef, send that over to the bar. You know, whatever. We'll pay it.
Yeah.
But do people do that by chance?
We've had a couple of those. Not a ton of them, but a couple. You know, we do have a tasting on the bottom of our menu.
Oh,
too.
Okay.
So, yeah, we offer a four-course tasting for $42 where people can pick anything on the menu. You know, they get a course, an appetizer course, a salad course, an entree course, and a dessert course for $42.
That's every day?
Every day. All the time.
Wow,
on the
menu. That's a heck of a deal.
And it's smaller portions, but it leaves everyone, you know, feeling full. And if you come with a four-top, you can pretty much eat the entire menu, you know. You can taste a lot of different stuff, which that's what I want. I want more people to taste more food because when you taste more food, you get a little feel about, you know, what you're doing in the restaurant.
Oh, absolutely. So. Dining for ADD, like
yeah.
as I say, I'd rather walk away just full on multiple
absolutely.
Little tastes and Absolutely. Not get hung up on one big, you know, pile of meat on the entree plate.
Exactly.
So anything fun planned for the new year? Any special dinners, things like that?
I haven't really worked too much out with this yet, but we're probably going to hopefully do like a Copper and Kings thing with a cocktail thing here.
Yeah, I've been to some of those. They're fantastic.
And we use a lot of their product. I mean, Brennan likes those guys, and they're good people.
Yeah, so, they live a block away.
They live in the neighborhood, so yeah, it's good stuff. That's kind of going to be in the works. We're kind of wanting to implement like a happy hour, like a wine only happy hour, like half price bottles from 5 to 6 kind of thing, or something. You know, catch those people on the way home.
Easy to execute.
Easy to execute. You know, nothing crazy. But we haven't really thought it through yet. We just kind of we're rolling with the punches right now. So trying to keep my head above water. You know, it's so much work. So
I bet. Lastly, did you expect it to be more competitive or less competitive in this neighborhood when you moved in?
You know, I thought it would be a little more competitive in the neighborhood. I thought there would be, you know, a little more going on. That being said, though, the people that are in the neighborhood doing kind of the style we do, they're doing well. I mean, they've been fixtures, you know. It's like Lily's, Kathy Carey down there, she's awesome.
Yeah.
They're always doing it. So,
right.
You know, same with Jack Fries, they're always doing it.
Right.
You know, but we don't really get too much from Hopcat or any of the other folks around us because it's mostly bars.
Yeah.
I did think brunch would be a little busier.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one of those things that I think grows with time. People don't really realize we're a brunch restaurant.
And it's new. Right.
And we might change it because that doesn't really represent our style of food the way I want it, you know? I
mean, right.
We don't do eggs every day. We do them on Sunday only, which...
Right.
Kind of, it takes a couple Sundays to get in the groove of doing it, you know?
So. Sure. But even a week off from that menu each time, it struggled.
You kind of forget.
The cook struggled a bit to pick it back up again. Been there, done that.
Absolutely.
Dallas McGarity, that's the phone ringing in the background, so you need to attend to that. Thanks so much for being on Eat, Drink, Talk.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
Steve, wonderful interview with Dallas over there at the Fat Lamb.
Great. I know. You can wind up looking like a fat lamb if you visit too often. There's too much good stuff to eat there.
I'm telling you, you know, it is the first of the year. We're all trying to roll back, cut back.
To roll back our rolls.
Yeah. It's tough. I'm not going to buy
roll back
bigger
from
pants,
the table.
I promise. Yeah. So I'm putting my foot down right now. No more bigger pants. All right. Well, everybody loves this part of the show, Steve, because we talk about our favorites. I'm surprised that more restaurateurs aren't like begging us to come to their place and use, you know, and pick their
me
place
too.
As the
you
favorite.
Wouldn't you think that'd be a good opportunity?
No, there's
we'll
sort
make,
of an invitation
we'll make
out there.
Make this your favorite. Yeah, absolutely.
And we don't have to get it free, you know, and that's one of the things.
That's
we
right.
Just naturally go out.
So you dug into the burnt ends at Mama's Mustard Pickles Barbecue. Explain what those are for listeners who may not know.
Yeah, those are like when you what I read and what I've discovered about it, and this is like a test for me because I know you know exactly what they are. When they make brisket or when they make some other product, there are pieces that get sort of taken off or the ends get cut off
because they're burnt
and they're good and you know what it says right there on the menu, not always available. So so I said, are the burnt ends available? And they said, yeah. I said, well, I'm going to try that. So I had that. They're great for dipping in their sauces out there, and it was fun. I was at Mama's out in the on Hurstbourne because my son Nick, now known as Nike, is studying theater in Italy, and he was
is
back.
That his Italian name?
He's Nick.
He's Nick,
or he's Nike, and it's funny. Brought his girlfriend, whose name is Heidi. She's from Arkansas,
well,
and
it
she
rhymes. Heidi
she,
Nike.
Yeah, she calls him Nike at every opportunity. So it took some getting used to.
But he was craving barbecue, having been gone in Italy. Where all
yeah,
that great
he'd been gone, he hadn't been in the United States for a year and a half, and what he wanted to eat was barbecue. So we went to Mama's. Nice. So that was cool. Now, you went off our good buddies over there at Red Hog Butcher and had something good.
Yeah, I was I'm doing a country ham and bourbon pairing this evening with the Louisville Bourbon Society. And to get some of, it's not country ham, I should say cured ham, Jay Denham at Red Hog Butcher does brilliant aged hams, and he cut us some 2.5-year-old ham, you know, just paper thin, prosciutto style. And that's going to be paired tonight with a Michter's whiskey, probably the rye, I believe. So, of course, I had to do some quality control. And oh, my gosh. Just the fat on it, it is freaking amazing. But you can get it if you go to Red Hog Butcher and just ask for it.
Yeah, sounds good. I saw something you did on Facebook, Steve. A whole bunch of hams in one place.
Yeah, I'm working on a new book on cured hams. All and right. I went to Lexington to see 40 people salt 304 country hams in about 90 minutes. And I was,
wow.
It was a ham curing party.
what a life you lead.
Oh, yeah, I tell you.
It's excitement.
High class and early in the morning, too, man. Those people, I had to leave Louisville at about 5:30 to get there to meet them for breakfast and watch them do the hams.
Oh, man.
But it was fun. It's a lot of fun.
That's living. All right, well, while I was at Mama's, I saw they have quite a they take a lot of pride in their beer list. They got a
they do,
bunch of stuff
yeah.
on, bunch
and their
of
whiskey
there.
List. I understand,
and I understand. I talked to a guy. He said he did a sort of a favor for a distributor. He is carrying a new beer made in Breckenridge, Colorado, with agave flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wheat beer. So I had two. They were great.
Nice, nice and mild. Agave, yeah. Of course, the source of sugar for tequila. So
yes.
I guess that was the that's the fermentable part of the beer. So sounds good. I love agave.
It was unique. It was remarkably different from the Blue Moons of the world and all the other
beers
of the world.
And I had some agave as well. So my favorite drink of the week is really it was really more of a meal, and it was called the Gorilla's Delight down there at Life Bar at Rainbow Blossom in St. Matthews. I needed something to go quickly, so I get back to work today. And organic banana, almond butter, cordyceps, which is a fungus of all things, local raw honey, ginger, cinnamon, and almond milk. And they said, would you like a sweetener with it? I said, what sweeteners would you offer? And they said agave. And I said, bring it
agave.
On.
There
so
you go.
Agave is the ingredient of the week.
Man, you could have brought one of those in here to the studio.
No, I couldn't. It was $9. I'm not that generous with you.
Damn it. All right. Well, I would have liked to have had one, I guess I would say. I think this is our first non-alcoholic drink on our drink of the week. So
that's probably true.
Maybe we should start a trend there.
I mean, and like you said, you know, a little bit of health consciousness there, too. I think the whole thing maybe was 400 calories, and I've gone 4 hours having drunk that, and I'm still full. It's delicious.
Well, you should...
Life Bar.
I know. You should. We should all do that. We should. I definitely should instead of eating all these sandwiches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that sounds great. Well, it's time to get on with our the rest of the show, and we have a great guest. You know, our sponsor Norton Commons is having Restaurant Week starting next Monday on January 23rd, and Marilyn Patterson. I went out and met with her at her office, and you know, everything is so new and neat and cool out there.
Yeah.
that's the sort of thing. She was talking about, she actually lives there in Norton Commons. She says, oh, new construction. It's so nice. It's so great to...
Exactly. Nothing to, squeaking,
you know,
creaking,
we live
breaking.
In these old houses, and, you know,
exactly.
We don't have that benefit. But
so she's going to talk about Restaurant Week?
She's going to talk about Restaurant Week. I asked her specifically about how they were able to... You know, there's no Olive Gardens out in Norton Commons. They have made a specific effort to go out and find operators who are local, who have unique concepts. And I think, you know, that must be one of the great benefits of living there in Norton Commons is all these great restaurants. That you can walk to. But she said, and I think she'll say this in the interview, they're not depending on their residents, which there are like... 1,500 residents out there now, but
as in 1,500 homes. If there's more than 1,500 people living there,
I think that's what she said.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. We're gonna find out in this interview.
Yeah, we'll find out. And they're pulling in from all over the place, and especially we talked about the bridge opening. It's right. You know, if you live in Utica, Indiana, you now have easy access to Norton Commons.
Absolutely. Speaking of old construction, that's Harvest. Harvest is in like a 110-year-old building, I believe. Yeah. Go down there, Nulu, not Butcher Block. That's where Louisville Cream's going to be. $3.49.90 to make reservations. Elevated hyperlocal food at Harvest.
Actually, I think the Louisville Cream place is really close to Harvest because I think it's in the 600 block, just like Harvest.
That's right. They're at 634, I believe. Yeah. 624.
Yeah. So anyway, that's great to have them as a sponsor. And again, a reminder that iCare Institute has a special event on Wednesday night. If you want to find out the answer to the question, hey, are there any options better than these reading glasses? You can sign up. Go to the iCare Institute website and sign up.
Awesome. Get you some new specs. Work on that FSA money.
There you go. That's all cool. So anyway, let's move on. This is a great interview. Really enjoyed talking with Marilyn out at Norton Commons. And that'll conclude our show. Thanks for listening.
Dessert? Yes, please.
And today, Eat, Drink, Talk is out at Norton Commons, this great community, with Marilyn Patterson. And Marilyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You are very special out here because you wear two hats.
I do. I am marketing director, and I also am in-house general counsel here.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Which one's more fun?
Ooh, no question. Marketing director. 100%.
So you're responsible for all these cool, hip, happening events that occur out here. I was telling you earlier, I went to the orchestra performance at the amphitheater. Yes. What a beautiful facility that is.
Oh, Corkestra is one of our favorite events, and you know, we're trying hard to revamp it without the orchestra, but we may get them back. Who knows?
Well, you never know. Mm-hmm. You never know. But I want to talk to you a little bit about your background. I know this is a family business and that you went to Center and U of L Law School.
Correct.
So you could be the lawyer for the company. But you didn't just jump right into the family business, did you?
Correct. I after law school, I went and practiced in medical malpractice defense, of all things. Litigation for 2.5 years. It was great. It was wonderful. But
so you were on the doctor's side.
I was.
Okay.
Doctors and facilities side. But I got to tell you, Norton Commons is a lot more fun than med mal defense.
Well, I would think so. This place has really grown a lot. I think you said it was 12 years old since it was a soybean field out here or whatever.
Pretty much, yeah. We started turning dirt in 2004, and the first homeowner moved in 2005. So, okay.
And now you got, what, 1,200?
Yeah, 1,200 homes occupied, and probably when we look at our census, it's almost 4,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot going on out here.
But that's only halfway of where you could be.
Not quite even halfway. Okay. When we're done, it will be 3,000 approximately, 3,000 homes, and over 10,000 residents.
A city unto itself.
Exactly. Some cities are smaller, so we are growing all the time, and it's going to be really nice when it's all done.
Well, an important part of being a city is having places to eat, right? And that's why we're here today, because it is Eat, Drink, Talk. How have you gotten all these great restaurants out here?
Well, that's funny because, as you mentioned, it was the middle of a soybean field just 12 years ago.
I remember thinking how far out it was.
Uh-huh. And truthfully, we're only 13 miles from the city center. So we're really not far out at all. But, you know, a decade ago, it certainly seemed further. Now everything's kind of grown out toward us, and we've got great connectivity. But at first, there was a lot of recruitment, a lot of going out, trying to meet restaurateurs, trying to convince them that, hey, this is a vision that's really going to pan out, and this is going to be a great area. You want to be here. There was a lot of convincing and persuasion involved. But now, we have grown from one little neighborhood grill and pub 10 years ago to 10 eating and drinking establishments that are wonderful, and now the restaurateurs come find us.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me that a place like this, like in other cities, I mean, you know, success is going to be if Applebee's or the Olive Garden comes in.
Right.
But you've really gone after sort of quirky, at least independent restaurateurs.
Absolutely. Out of our 10 dining and drinking establishments here, every single one is locally owned and operated. Every single one is a Louisville original except for Johnny Brusco's, which is a small chain, but again, locally owned and operated. And we've got some great independent local flavor here. If you're looking for independent dining in the east end of Louisville, Norton Commons is the place.
Okay, okay. Well, as you know, I went out to Citizen 7 for the first time last Sunday.
Yum.
Yummy.
Jimmy. So, okay.
And you got, just give us a quick list of the other choices we have here.
Oh, gosh. All right. I don't want to leave anybody out. So we've got Citizen 7, you mentioned, Commonwealth Tap, Gelato Gilberto, Awesome Gelato, Johnny Brusco's Pizza, Karam's Grill and Pub, Meeting Street Coffee House, cute little coffee house.
I was just there.
Oh, good coffee. They have the, what's it called, Illy Italian coffee. It's delicious.
Oh, okay.
Mercato Italiano, Tea Station Asian Bistro, the 502 Bar and Bistro. It's our newest restaurant. It's delicious. Verbena Breakfast and Lunch Cafe. And soon
coming
join
soon.
Us, coming soon, Wild Ginger. Awesome sushi place.
From the Highlands. It's my favorite sushi place in the Highlands. So.
Yes.
How'd you get them to come out here?
Well, actually, Jenny Wang is the owner, and she is a longtime Norton Commons resident.
Wow.
Yes, and she had always wanted to open a restaurant here, but Tea Station was here, and she didn't want to compete with Tea Station, and so she did her thing out in the Highlands, and now the time's right. Tea Station has an established local following, and she does too, so she wants an East End location. I think their menus are going to be varied enough where you're going to have really good complimentary things going on and good variety.
Enough for everybody.
Exactly.
With this growing. I mean, do you see an end in sight? I mean, it seems like you're not even half the size in terms of residents you're going to eventually have. Mm-hmm. There's probably going to be more restaurants.
Absolutely. We hope so. We are looking always to kind of add complimentary offerings, you know, things that are gonna, we like variety, we like diversity, we really want some different flavors out here. So, you know, now next on our list, we're kind of looking for, you know, like a middle of the road, you know, casual American style diner here that serves your average American fare for dinner. We're kind of looking for that. We need to fill that niche. And then also people have asked us for like the high-end white tablecloth steakhouse type thing too. So those are two holes that we're looking to fill currently, but that doesn't mean that's all we're looking to fill currently.
Sure.
We want, we really do want this to be a dining destination.
Okay. Okay. And it seems like, I don't know the history or how what the pace has been, but you know, I know I attended two Homoramas out here, and I've seen it change. I've seen the houses just pop up, and I guess people are attracted to the idea of walking to whatever they need.
Yes, walkability. I think, and I got to say, I live here too, so I can speak from experience. The walkability is the most attractive factor here, and of course there are other neighborhoods in Louisville that are also walkable and wonderful, but here you've got your new construction, so you have the ability to custom build exactly what you want in a house, exactly what you want from start to finish, and get that great walkable neighborhood that kind of, you know, feels like the traditional neighborhoods, the old Louisville's, the Highlands, the St. Matthews. Well, we've got that same, the same benefits out here, but then you have new construction as well. So if you want to build your house from the ground up, or you like new construction, which I do, big closets, big rooms, that's kind of nice.
And I guess you can still like build a place and have your own business underneath. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have LiveWorks out here too. A lot of our business owners, including restaurateurs, live above their restaurants.
Wow.
Live above their places or rent them out to other individuals who do. So that's really awesome to be able to walk downstairs and go to work.
So I guess you have something for the smell and the, you know, you don't have to beat on the ceiling.
That's
so
right.
Keep it down up there.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk a little bit. I mean, one of the reasons we're talking now is because you got a big promotion coming up.
Yes.
And let's whet our taste buds about what's coming up at Restaurant Week.
Okay, so Restaurant Week, this is the first ever, Rick, so we're really pumped about it. It's January 23rd through the 30th. That's a Monday to Monday. And all of our restaurants that are open for dinner are participating. So that's six restaurants. And what it is they are offering a special prefix menu, and the price will vary by restaurant. So it's $15, $20, or $25. It's three courses, an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. And again, you know, you go to the 502, which is a higher end restaurant, it's $25.
Okay.
But you go to Karam's Grill and Pub, and it's $15. But either place, it's three courses, and they're going to be delicious.
Okay.
So six restaurants, it's all week long, and $15, $20, $25.
And there's another special restaurant week thing going on at Commonwealth Tap.
Yes. Right. They're going to do some awesome wine tastings during the week at Commonwealth Tap. And gosh, I can't remember which days of the week. There are 3 days. They're doing that 3 days, and that's on our social media and on their social media as well. But they're bringing in sommeliers, and they're going to offer these great wine tastings, which are going to be perfect for either before dinner to whet your appetite,
sure,
or after dinner as a kind of after dinner treat.
Okay. Well, it's great, and I don't know if you even have this research, but it seems like, you know, Restaurant Week is probably going to market it around town and everything, and try to get people who don't live here, I guess, to come in here. Do you get a sense for how much of the clientele for the restaurants is from within and how much is without?
I would say probably 70% of our clientele is from without the neighborhood. And we have to have that. We really do. For our restaurants to stay successful as they have been, we've got to have people coming in from outside of Norton Commons. And I want to stress that Norton Commons is absolutely open to everybody to try. I mean, some people call and they're like, can I eat there if I don't live there? Absolutely. No, this is far from a gated community. So please come try the restaurants. They're awesome. I mean, Commonwealth Tap was voted best wine and bourbon bar. Citizen 7 got second best taco. 502 Bistro and Bar, they've gotten some really great recognition. It's worth, even if you're 13 miles away in the city center, it is well worth your drive, I promise you.
Yeah, no, it's such a contrast. And I saw in some of your materials, now that the bridge is open, mm-hmm, on the east end right up the street, you get the opportunity to pull in people from Indiana.
Absolutely. Apparently, from Utica, the drive over here is like 10 or 15 minutes,
yeah,
now with that bridge. So this opens up this part of town to a whole new population that we have never gotten to, you know, exchange ideas or culture or products with. So this is great. This is really nice to have them just a bridge away.
Yeah. Well, it's very exciting to have this restaurant week for the first time, I'm sure. And I'm sure we'll be out here checking it out and really looking forward to it.
I hope so.
And you know, we're going to be keeping our eye on Norton Commons for reasons to come out here again. You'll be marketing some good stuff, right?
I will. I promise I'll keep you apprised.
Okay. All right, Marilyn, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.